Welcome to Unbirds on Tape. I'm in its rave reading Erratatat by Stephen Tane. Chapter 1. Martha alone in front of his computer. It was night, he thought. Though his room was always dark, the glare of the screen renewed his dark features as it rebooted Windows XP after something called a catastrophic system failure. He glanced around his room as he waited for XP to finish loading. By the window was a picture of him at 8 years old. He had won a spelling bee. He had been great at spelling before the accident. On his desk beside him was a stack of Yu-Gi-Oh dots. He sighed. He had all 3 Egyptian dot dots, but no one wanted to duel. But enough distraction, he thought to himself as he opened up Firefox. It was customized beyond usefulness. He had whiled away many an hour downloading its sentence, but at least he knew now what the river was like in Dubai. Hot and sunny, as it had been every day. He navigated his rate's Hotmail and entered his password. 17 random numbers and digits. No emails. There never were. MySpace? Nothing. He entertained himself for a while with Second Life, yet he was equally a pariah there as in the real world. He turned to Doodle. Doodle was always there for him. It never judged him, not like the others. He searched for what he didn't know. He just typed whatever words entered his head in a desperate sort of scene of consciousness exercise. Eventually, he stumbled upon something that caught his eye.
A Wikipedia parody, he exclaimed. Surely here will I will find better notes than I.
He clicked on the hyperlink. It soon became clear to him, however, that this was just another community of which he would never be a part. Their in-zones and light-hearted repartee made little sense to him.
Is there the bell, or isn't there?
He shouted furiously. He was rapidly growing tired of their so-called humor. Only one article made sense to him. Out of sheer frustration, he clicked the link saying chat room. Suddenly, his PC chimed. He had email. He immediately loaded up Hotmail. His heart raced. His breathing was tricked. He clicked inbox. It wasn't from that Dell-like store he had been taunting. Never mind. He had email. A Nigerian man for an interesting proposition. He would return to it later. Pleasantly, he returned to the IRC. A rather humorous picture of a purple bear greeted him. Next to it was a bot asking him to choose a name. He thought for a moment. What nickname did adequately sum up his personality, he pondered. Yet nothing came to him. Finally, out of desperation, he typed Erratatat and clicked Login. The CGI jumped to life. There was a list of names on the right-hand side of the screen. These would be his new friends. They would not desert him like the others did after the accident. Words appeared on screen. Some nonsense about Dan Brown. Then it flittered and an encyclopedia appeared in front of him. Oh my god, what the fuck, barbecue? I know! And then I ate the whole sandwich. A conversation was already in progress. He panicked. Would they reject him? Would they ridicule him like the others had? He decided there and then that he would be the new Benson. Only better. Erratatat! He typed furiously, but in his heart, he was screaming,
Why does everyone hate me?
Some douchebag told Mihaly to get him out. He was angry, but also strangely excited. He logged in again. He was ticked out again, but he would not give up. He logged in again, but this time, he was not taken to Encyclopedia. He was in a strange sort of neverworld known only as Unsightly Overflow. He was alone then, but this was victory. He had succeeded in being a minor irritant on an IRC channel. This night, he dreamed of Encyclopedia. He returned to den the next day, and the next. Each night an epic battle of wits and fiendness took place between himself and the Atoms. Chapter 2. Martha wrote and stretched out the confines of his single bed. His mind raced through the events of the previous few weeks, and he considered the need for a shower. His life has become a milestone for activity, and it took several minutes of singing the special song his sight analyst had taught him for him to settle. Just a few bars of It's Raining Men normally toned him down, he thought to himself. He pondered the deep philosophical discussion from the night before, and in a conflict that it had begun.
You are wasting your time on a daily basis.
Pointlessly.
Epic fail. You have to find yourself to doing something that will ultimately result in nothing. When you're old and gray, and you miss a few other dreams of your life, you'll be able to look back on this time and think, what a rant I was. Oh, you can just tell yourself now.
There was just time for a ritual before breakfast. He booted up his PC.
Time to know those bastards are done,
he told his stuffed Pikachu. Encyclopedia appeared before him once again. Mahaley was there then.
Does this die for sleep?
He asked Pikachu. Mahaley typed some disparaging remark and promptly tipped them to overflow.
Damn you, Mahaley,
he shouted.
I'll flood the engine one day and murder you. Wait a minute. Does this mean an idea?
He explained, plot developing me. He decided at the moment that he would tell Mahaley. Mahaley, who had thwarted his efforts to be a minor nuisance on a back street of the information superhighway. Mahaley, who had spoken so rudely to him. Did he not see it was a cry for help? He took the protractor from one of his many pencil cases and began to tut himself furiously. Pale and twirling were his trudges now, as well as the actual trudges he wore because he fell down the stairs. Those were metaphorical trudges, the most powerful of all trudges, more powerful than Vegna done. Over the next few weeks, he worked on his plan. He bought plane tickets to England, which he discovered was quite near Liverpool, where Mahaley lived, and prepared his murder weapon. It would be a weapon of unequal power made from lethal mindstorms. A gun, a robot, a train, an elephant. It was all these things, and more. He became even more elusive as time went on and his plans near fruition. His mother was worried about him and sent him to the school psychologist. However, the school psychologist was worse than useless and failed to spot the warning signs. Even when he carried out the ink blot test, and every answer Mott gave was Mahaley dead. For the next four chapters, Mott gets bored at school, doesn't knit the dell, and generally descends further into madness. It's boring, frankly, so read it on Butch decides to just cut this bit out and ditch the bit finale. Chapter 7.
I'm done for you, Mahaley.
He said to himself. He was sitting on a plane, muttering demandedly to himself. The passengers next to him looked worried, but he was no danger to them. There was only one thing on his mind. Mahaley. He was normally a very nervous flyer and got airsick, but not today. He heard his breath close to his chest. In it for his killer robot, a bottle of Powerade, and his beloved Pikachu.
We'll be there soon, Pikachu.
He whispered softly.
What's that? No, no, Pikachu owns the spot. That's a man!
Presently, they landed in Liverpool Airport. The air was filled with the scent of stouses. He walked up to the security desk. What's in the bag? Dodd asked.
Killer robot.
Did he see a passport? Mott handed the man his passport. He eyed it for a second before handing it back to him. Enjoy your stay, sir, the Dodd said. He left the airport and grabbed a taxi. He sat in the bat seat, lost in his own psychosis, not listening to the driver's incentive against those fucking Muslims. About an hour later, the taxi stopped outside a small, semi-detached house in the suburbs. He paid the taxi driver an extraordinary sum and disembarked. The time had come. He walked up to the doorstep and rang the bell. He waited on a humorous welcome mat. The door opened.
Rat-a-tat!
He shouted, pushing his way across the threshold. Mahaley was stunned. How had this tit found him? Mott was inside now, and he released the robot. It didn't start.
Sir, no batteries, he shouted. I'll be back in a minute.
He walked briskly to the local shop to buy a pack of AA batteries. He returned to the house. He rang the doorbell. Mahaley let him in.
That was great, Mahaley said. Wait a second. Did they just let you back in?
But it was too late. Mott deployed the robot and set it to work killing Mahaley. However, the robot was trapped, and Mahaley easily tipped it aside. It laid in the corner upside down, laying tomatly. Mott panicked. Seconds later, he regained his composure and launched at Mahaley, arms furling widely.
His reclusive lifestyle had tossed his monster outrage somewhat within the Tots twins that Mihaly easily wrestled him to the ground, tied him up, had his way with him, and phoned the police. Mott was arrested and summarily executed, the death penalty having been introduced the same day. The end. Now, do outside and play, did he?